Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and bring it to the streets, and we are back in our fourth season, and I am so glad I got my co-host with me, Pastor Michael Teddy. It's been a while, a lot of stuff going on in India, but he's back on track. Let him update you on what's going on in India with his family, and then we have three topics we want to talk about today. So you know, when I'm able to get Pastor Michael on, and you know, we're a little ways from each other, but when I'm able to get him on, I like to pick his brain. I like to theologically look at some of the things he's looking at over there in India and how we can apply them to today. And we got three topics that we're going to look at today, hopefully get through them. And that's it's the importance of our confessions. We are a confessional church. The importance of reading extra biblical material, not to take the place, but to read alongside the Bible. And then we're going to do our update on the end times. Pastor Michael, what do you think? You're ready to dive into those areas? I know you are, because we discussed this, but just give us an update. What's going on with the fam and with the church? And glad to have you back.
It's surely good to be back. I think we'll definitely do our best. And so we're doing good here. God's been good to us. And even as a church, we are currently, we just finished Matthew chapter 13. We've been doing the Gospel of Matthew for more than 2 years now. And God's been good and kind to us. We've new people coming in, new people requesting for membership, steadily we're growing. And so we're just thankful for whatever the Lord has been doing in our midst. So it's been a busy month. Oh, a lot of counseling, a lot of people need help, a lot of people need help understanding how to navigate what's happening around them, the culture, all of that. And so it's God is good. So if anybody comes to India, travel down to the southern tip, come to our city of Trivandrum, and we'd love to have you. And if you want to know more about the church, please visit redemptionhill.in, or you can just email me at michaelterry@gmail.com, and it'd be great to hear from you guys.
Yeah, I'd like to come down to India. Can you guys send for me? I'll go down in a minute, brother. Yeah, Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail. Any questions, concerns, anything like that, give us a shout out. Pastor Michael, your sermons are on your website and stuff like that also, or?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, and same here, so that's good. Okay, well, we got, if we're going to try to get into this, when we got on the pre-show today, and we were saying, what are we going to talk about and stuff, and today's Thursday for me, I got to go into the prisons and preach today, so I'm just excited about that. But I am excited about doing this show with Michael. So we went over, we talked about three topics. Now, the first one is an interesting topic, and I want to definitely ask Michael about this. Why is it important to have confessions? And that's the question I want to ask, because I think that, I don't know, Pastor Michael, how it is there as far as the people will go on websites and see what the church believes. And a lot of websites that we see here in America, if you go on them, you really don't know what a church believes, what they're about. So I think confessions are important. Now, right now I'm kind of mixing. I know statements of faith, That's important. But I think statements of faith that you go on the website should come from a sound biblical confession. Right, Pastor Michael? So talk to us about why it's important for churches to be confessional, and that should carry over into at least statements of faith and what a church believes. Is that a fair question?
Yes, it is. And and it's interesting to talk about this. So maybe I'll give a context from where I am, and so people can understand how I'm approaching this whole topic. And for everyone listening to us, this is all quite new to me. Of course, I've read the confessions. I've studied a little bit of church history and read it through, and I've heard sermons. I've read a lot about it, but it's new to me in the sense of, you know, just what you were talking about. Why is it important? Should churches be confessional and things like that? So, I come from a place where the culture of churches here majorly don't have confessional statements. There's no statement of faith. That's not, common. If you go to the website, you know, the best what we believe section of the website will tell you is maybe as far as we believe in Jesus, we fear the Lord, and we want to disciple the nations. You know, it's very vague. It's very broad. Nothing specific. So that's pretty much what it looks like. And so you really don't know what a church believes. And part of the reason for that is because there is a fear among churches at large that if you were to pen down a particular statement, then you are not allowing yourself freedom to change or modify and so in fact in a lot of the churches here, there's no screening before people are put in front of the pulpit. Anybody can, you know, if you want, you can invite anybody to preach. And so all of that is seen as a lot of freedom, and it is. And so I think the culture here is just not for statement of faith or anything of the sort.
Well, the same thing here in America. When you go on these websites, they're very vague. I mean, there's no, like, we have the 1689 confession on our website. We have the Chicago statement on biblical inerrancy, because we want to be succinct. But here in America, churches don't want to be succinct. We want to be broad in what we believe. And in fact, just to back up your point, because I like to give biblical references, I believe the first confession, I mean, as far as churches, was in Acts 15, when Paul went down and met with the Jerusalem council and says, listen, this is, you know, in with the Gentiles and the Jews, and they actually made a statement of faith. I mean, they said, hey, we're going to go this way. I mean, you know, obviously, let's not eat nothing strangled to idols and things like that. But they actually came down with, I believe, as far as the church goes, a confession of their faith. Would you agree with that, Pastor Michael?
Yes, I would. And in fact, with my own church, with us here, one of the things that we've been asking is why are churches generally so averse, so pushing back on such statements of faith? Why? What's the reason behind that? And as far as I can tell, it traces back to this need or desire for a freedom to be able to believe different things, or even go so far as to be able to have the freedom to interpret different things, you know. And so putting things down on a paper as a system of belief seems to be legalism for a lot of people. But what happens as a result of that is you just don't have orthodoxy. You don't have, and which is exactly what you were saying, when Paul writes his letters to all the churches, he constantly asks them to preserve the teaching that they have been taught, to not sway, to not move away from the truth that has been spoken or passed to them, right? And so the reason, so Paul calls for orthodoxy, and that's one thing you just don't find in my culture. You don't find orthodoxy because there's no founding point. There's no foundation stone. There's no, this is what the scripture teaches. So as long as you keep it open, you could believe whatever you want to believe, teach whatever you want to teach, and change whenever you want to change, and have the freedom of doing that. And so we as a church, quite early on when we planted the church, worked on our statement of faith, because we understood that it helps us on different levels. One, it helps to tell our people, this is what the church believes. This is what you're going to hear. This is what's going to be taught to you from the church. And on the other hand, it allows the church to hold the leaders accountable on what they teach.
That's a great point. See, when this works back and forth, this is very profound what you're saying. The statement of faith or the confessional church does not only hold the congregants accountable, it holds the leadership accountable. And I think that is so profound in what you're saying, because when you see these statements of faith and you go on the websites, you're saying, wow, these guys are really staunch. No, the whole church is staunch, and they will hold the elders, the teaching elders, the pastors accountable, as well as the pastors and the teaching elders will hold the congregation accountable. And I think that's a really good statement, what you said. It's not a top-down type of hierarchy, if that makes any sense, Pastor Michael.
Yes, and I think, you know, we need to step back and go and ask the question, why do these confessions even exist? Where do they come from? Where do they arise from? And so throughout church history, you find that leaving a completely open, you know, leaving the doors of interpretation completely open so that people can come up with any fairy tale from the Bible has always led to disaster, right? And at the root, I think the reason for the existence of confessions or statements of faith is the belief that the Bible can be understood in what it is teaching us. It's not a book that changes from person to person. It's not a message that morphs itself depending on who's reading it. The Bible is not a filter through which you look and people get different perspectives of different things. The Bible is true. It's a book written to us. It's written for us. It's an instruction. It's given to us. And we can understand what it says. It's the Word of God. So when Paul says something, Paul means something, and what he means can be understood from Scripture. And so it is the belief that there are no many interpretations, but rather there is a true interpretation.
Amen.
There might be many implications, many applications that can be drawn. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, as you know, Pastor Michael, I teach eighth graders in Lagos Christian Academy here in Casa Grande. And when I talk to the students, when you first get into the class and they're doing some, when I ask them to do reflections on some scriptures, they'll say things like, this scripture means this to me. And I tell them, no. The scripture means only one thing. And then just backing up on your point, now those scriptures may apply hermeneutically in different areas, but you have to apply it to the original meaning of the text. Now we're more on exegesis and hermeneutics, but that's where confession should come from. Confession should come from good exegesis. And then, like you said, how you apply it still has to come from the original import of the text. Am I right there, Pastor Michael?
Yes, and so that's what the confession specifically does. What the confessions aim to do is to bring us, is to anchor us on foundational theology. It's an attempt to bring people down to what the scriptures actually teach. And many of these confessions were written by strong men and women of God, faithful to scripture, over the years in church history, who have gathered at different points in time and have brought the whole counsel of God's word down to, here is what the Bible teaches about said topics. Now, confessions in that sense can cover cardinal truths, which is primary doctrines that if you disagree, you're not Christian. And it can also cover secondary and tertiary doctrines. So, and it depends on what they address. You know, if they are in a specific instance in history where there is a specific heresy or a series of heresies, and they come together and the confession was written in that period of time, each of those confessions will respond to those heresies by bringing people back to the Bible and saying, this is what the Bible teaches. And so throughout church history, we have plenty of confessions that were written, you know, and there are specific confessions like the Westminster or the London Baptist Confession that we look to, the Reformed confessions, and they are wonderful because they take us back to the Bible. Now, the point is, there are things in almost every confession that we may not agree with today, right? So, for example, there are things that they write about the Pope. Or the way they write about the Catholic Church at that time, that is, you know, starkly opposite of how we would put it today. You know, there are confessions which talk about the Pope as the Antichrist and seeing it in a very specific sense. So the point being, the reason we go back to confessions is because throughout history, God has raised strong men and women, in every church who have served faithfully, and in many circumstances, the leaders of churches, these men have come together and made these confessions, and they've written it down and they've passed it on to us. And so they are great and wonderful resources for us to land on what we believe as a church. And so there are churches that would not prescribe to a confession specifically, but they would derive their own statement of faith from these confessions. And so that's what we started with. We made our own statement of faith when we planted the church. But recently, I have found myself making my way through the 1689 London Baptist Confession, studying it through, and we've been having conversations on whether as a church we want to move to that confession and hold a historic confession and be blessed by it.
Yeah, and I hope that maybe I can convince you, since it's on our website and since your church takes care of our website. So I would, I think when you, in fact, one of our elders, Dana Baldwin, right now, is going through the 1689 in our Sunday morning, Bible study. And he's extensively going through it. So we have three, teaching elders that are in our Bible study that, one is going to go through, one is, I think, finishing up, Second Peter and Jude. And then one is going to start some, sections in Acts. And Dana is going through the 1689. And I'll tell you, Pastor Michael, and we got about, again, we wanted to hit these three topics. So, we got about, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes left on the confession. But I'll tell you, when you study the 1689 and Dana's using all these scripture, it's really, you can tell that the confession is governed by the Word of God. It's not, they'll make a statement and there'll be, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, there'll be 25 scriptures. Sometimes there is 25 scriptures after that statement. And they want you to, the statement that they make, they want it to be governed by God's word. So I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 minutes to close out your thoughts on confessions. And then I'll close out the segment. And then our next segment is going to be the importance of reading extra biblical material, not to take the place alongside the Bible, and that be the following week. So take 3 minutes and give us the importance of confessions.
Yeah, I know churches here where pastors walk up to their pulpits and teach the people that since God made both man and woman in his image, that God, that means that God is a transgender, is a transvestite. There are men who teach that, right? And it seems like a logical flow of things. That's just one of the many types and kinds of teachings that are there. And for whatever reason, that happens because leaders and church people are not held accountable to a standard. And the standard is, what does the Bible teach? And the reason people don't hold these people, don't hold whether leaders or church members to these standards, is in the name of freedom. But such freedom destroys churches. Such freedom confuses so many Christians. Such freedom does not create a culture of joy and discipline and obedience in Christ. Such a culture creates chaos. And for us to go back to the Bible, we need to trust that the Bible can be understood, it can be interpreted, it can be learned, and that is the purpose for which God has given us His Word. Jesus said that those who continue in My Word, those are My true disciples. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to continue in His Word. And so these confessions throughout church history is a great source for us to go to, where we have these mighty men down through history at several points who have written down these confessions, not as an interpretation of their culture, but as an interpretation of Scripture to teach their culture. This is what the Bible teaches. And so going back to the sources, it helps us a lot. In fact, I am kind of wary more and more looking at how much the world is on the slippery slopes of being more and more liberal. I'm worried about churches who make their own statement of faith today. Not that they cannot, not that I'm trying to be a legalist, but people tend to write statements of faith today as wide as they can to include as many as they can. But that's not the agenda of the statement of faith. The agenda of the statement of faith is to come to the Bible and say, this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what we will believe as a church. And going to the confessions is a great way to be more objective, not allow culture to speak into any part of it, but to have the Word of God expounded well. And so why rewrite history? Why start from scratch when our forefathers have left us such a great treasure to use? And we've seen these confessions used by churches, and churches that have been blessed and have stood their ground for so many years.
Yeah, well said, Pastor Michael. Really good stuff. We need to be succinct in our theology. And I think that what confessions do, they make us a succinct and distinct people. And I think that's important. And because today the world is all inclusive. And when churches start acting like the world, and when you go on a church website and it says, oh, we welcome everybody, come in. But that's okay. But I want to know why I'm walking in that church and what I'm going to believe. So as we close on confessions, our admonition for myself and Pastor Michael from listening to his colloquy, his conversation this morning, is that if you are a church, let me say it better this way as I close. Be a confessional church. It's biblical, and it will show your distinctions, and hopefully and prayerfully your distinctions will follow the Word of God. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi with my co-host Michael Teddy here on Street Talk Theology, where we take theology and we bring it to the streets. God bless and keep.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.